All right, so tonight I'd like to talk about these three main aspects of meditation training, these three kind of fundamental things that we explore in many different ways in this class. We've already touched upon a number of them during those questions and answers. So first one is the steady attention that we really focused on last week. The next one is the friendly attention, the quality of attention that has non-resistance and non-agenda. And then finally, learning to see through thoughts. So seeing through thoughts. So let's take each one of these and unpack them a little bit more. So steady attention. So as we spoke about last week, the analogy of a flashlight and how we can focus it, pinpoint beam of light, or we can have it much broader, almost like the light in the room. This is the quality of our awareness, being able to focus in or also be very broad. It could be any of our senses, sight, like with a flashlight. It could be sensing something like a particular part of our body, or as we notice that particular phase of the breathing to highlight that one aspect. And so it's really that steady attention is cultivated by picking one thing to rest upon, to focus on. And it doesn't really matter what it might be. And that's, as we spoke about it in the questions, I think it's very helpful to have something that our attention doesn't react with automatically. Because sometimes based on our history, our traumas, just our conditioning, some aspects of experience naturally have a lot of reaction to them. Sometimes the breath has that. Sometimes sound has that. But we have all these different ones we can focus on. And so I really encourage us to find something that we can, that's fairly neutral, fairly benign, that our attention can learn the skill of resting upon, connecting with. So during the class, we've opened to sound and breath. Next week, we'll open to body sensations. And then we'll open to the quality of being things being pleasant or unpleasant. We'll open to thoughts and emotions. And also finally, what's it like when we don't have a choice? We're not really focusing on one thing or another. What's called choiceless awareness. We're just receptive to all things. And this starting, easy, starting small and something that we can steady our attention teaches us this skill we can apply to so many other ways, as with like Beth's question tonight, that we learning how to focus on sound and breath is teaching us how to learn to focus on something much more charged, like our reaction to our housemate's conversation, or my reaction to my own mind or my own body. So you plop that right in the middle of meditation. And we'll explore this as the weeks unfold. Now, the importance of developing that steadiness of attention is, we are very distracted as a human race, especially this day and age that we're used to having our attention really drawn or commanded by looking at this flashing ad or looking at this thing that's really enticing or looking away from what's painful. And learning how to be mindful on purpose, to focus on purpose. This is this development of concentration, of steadiness, of attention, of firmness of attention. And patience is really needed in this. That we need to learn to come back again and again. And even though we might get lost in thought, it feels like every other breath, that's okay. That actually coming back really strengthens that muscle of mindfulness. Sometimes we talk about an anchor of attention, just like a boat would have an anchor that would help hold that boat from drifting too far. That's what we do with this anchor. We pick one thing and focus on. But remembering that's not the whole technique. It's not the whole practice. It's just a training, a learning to steady our attention. Because once our attention becomes more steady, it has the capacity to start to see through what's unseen. Just like a strong flashlight can start to pierce through a fog, pierce through the night sky, so too our steadiness of our attention allows us to start to pierce through some things which we don't know about ourselves, that we hold in conscious, particularly some of the areas that create unnecessary suffering in an unconscious way. So we often build attention by first releasing everything but that object. So if I was going to focus just on my breath, everything else that comes in my awareness, I'm going to release that. I'm going to set that aside so I can really develop that state of concentration. As we do that, we may feel a quality of calmness, a quality of collectedness, a sense that time starts to fade, that we're just very united here in this moment. Again, this is just one part of the meditation, and we don't want to stay locked or stuck there. And it, because it is pleasant, sometimes we want to get back to that collective quality. But ultimately, it's much more important to focus on the seeing, the clarity of seeing. And concentration is just serving that. Now, as we work on concentration, as we cultivate it, nurture it, we have to monitor how much tension we have in that cultivation. So we don't want to be too tight with it. We don't want to be too loose with it. You know, one analogy that from the Buddha's time is that he pointed to someone who was playing a musical instrument, a stringed instrument. And he was pointing out how if that string that the person is plucking is too tight, then it's out of tune. It's just too, it loses its tone. If it's too slack, it loses its tone. You want to find that just that right point of balance. And so we learn that over time. We learn it through trial and error, often by being maybe too strong, too forceful, and we feel the inner tension, or sometimes we're too relaxed and we lose contact. One traditional instruction is to imagine if you're eating a plate of broccoli and how much focus it takes to really put the fork into the piece of broccoli and then bring it to your mouth. And there's a right amount of tension, right amount of effort. If it's too much effort, the broccoli flies everywhere. If it's too little bit, you can't bring enough focus to bring it, into your mouth. So where's that right amount of focus? And this question already came up around working with pain and discomfort, but just to reinforce that there can be a danger to pushing through pain, that we start to become too resistant, we're fighting through that pain. We're not letting it, we're trying to overpower it by our will, by our effort. And it's learning to bring compassion, to bring kindness to yourself, to notice, okay, this experience is too much to hold right now. It's too strong. To respect that and to shift to something else or to shift that body position. Because really our understanding of effort and what's really needed changes over time as our understanding changes. As we see more and more clearly, that changes our understanding. And really the less blind we are, the less kind of obscured we are, the less effort we need. So meditation becomes less and less effort over time. So this steady attention. So again, we're going to first cultivate this kind of one-pointed focus, but we won't stay there. We're going to add more and more objects. So we start to have a more relaxed, receptive attention. So attention, though, needs something else to counterbalance it. Because otherwise we can have a lot of focus like a cat stalking a mouse. It's all unified. It's all focused there. But there's an intent of harm. There's an intent of energy. There's a tenseness to that. And so this moves into the next quality, the next aspect of the meditation learning. And that's of this friendly attention, this non-resistance. Sometimes you can think of it as this warmth of attention, a caring attention. And also an attention without agenda, that we're seeing not in order to do something, in order to judge or to fix, to do something about, but simply the seeing itself is enough. The observation itself is enough. So this friendly attention. So this really points to our relationship to what's being observed. That friendliness to see accepting things just how they are. As I mentioned last week, touching upon this one piece here, that if you have a dear friend who's able to just really listen to you deeply without judging you, without trying to fix you or change you, I just want to hear you. I want to really receive you. And they're very attentive. How good that feels. how good it feels to be just heard, not to have someone trying to solve your problem, but to just really listen deeply to you. Meditation is learning that art for yourself, to listen very deeply to yourself without an agenda, with a friendliness of attention. And naturally, the gift you give everyone else, you start to do that with other people. Just spontaneously, you're able to listen more deeply without that normal reaction. Because usually we do watch, we do observe, we do think and listen and see with an agenda. You know, that basically, if it's something that we like, we might become obsessed about it. How can I get more of it? If it's something that I dislike, that I want to judge it, I want to push it away. Or if it's neutral, if it doesn't really have much charge, pleasant or unpleasant, we just tend to ignore it. We don't really see it or really acknowledge it. So it's very helpful with this friendly attention aspect is to release that agenda, to not worry about how what you have to do with something, to not worry about the action, and just to pause and actually connect with it. You know, especially in the middle of a meditation, you know, so often we're so wired to do things with, even though we don't really have to do anything with our experience, it comes right into our meditation. So a lot of our practice is learning to unhook that tendency. And imagine like if you were, you know, in a crowd of people that were swirling around, you know, this is pre-COVID, and you were just observing everyone. You know, if you step back and just watch that display, that's often how it feels like when we're meditating. We're sitting and there's these sensations and there's these thoughts and these emotions. And there's a part of this that can simply observe everything, just observe that whole swirl of movement, the faces, the impressions going by. And this is this friendly attention. It's like that allows us to rest in that simple observation. This is often, I talk about this in terms of resistance and non-resistance. You know, how are we meeting this moment? Do we meet this moment with a quality of resistance, struggle, disallowing, or relaxing with it, allowing it to be just how it is? This is actually a big theme in my practice really early on, is that I was going through a very difficult breakup of a relationship and having a lot of internal pain, emotional pain around that. And I had never practiced before, and I heard these teachings. It's like the simple formula this teacher gave, that your resistance times your experience equals the suffering that you're going to have around it. I said, well, I found that very intriguing back, this was 26 years ago, that the emotional pain I was having that seemed, you know, very related to the relationship dissolving and all those things. But to see that maybe it's not so much that experience, but how much I'm resisting it that's creating so much suffering. So that really caught my eye and became caught my ear and became a theme of my practice. And my main teacher often encourages us to release, to relax, to have non-resistance to the moment's experience. So I would practice that, you know, and I felt like I was making a lot of headway. And then one day I was on a retreat, you know, again, a number of years ago, and I had a kidney stone attack. So the kidney stone attack, I felt, you know, of course, it was intense pain, but I didn't know what it was. So I was just trying to practice with it and feel it. And I wasn't sitting, you know, meditating. I was in my room writhing in pain, but I was still trying to feel it. And, you know, for 3 days, I tried to work with it. And finally, I went to the ER, got some morphine, and felt much better. Yes, that's like that a cautionary tale of how much do you struggle too much versus when do you need to take a break, when you need to find help. And so I thought I learned a lot about resistance and reaction around things. And then that kidney stone seemed to resolve itself. But it was actually just stopped moving. About a month or so later, it started to move again. And right in that moment, the pain just flooded back. And I could see that there's the pain, very intense, but there was my reaction to that pain, my resistance to my pain, in the form of all my memories, all my past experiences, the fear of how much it's going to cost and how long it's going to go and all these things. And I could see right there, the pain was very intense, but I made it much, much worse through my resistance to it. And that teaching, I understood it in a deeper way. So non-resistance, friendly attention, practicing this in a very simple way, very immediate way. Just as you begin the practice, as you begin to sit, relaxing the body, as you find maybe a tension arise or some pain, can I relax the way I'm observing it? Can I relax the quality of resistance to it? And realizing sometimes I need to shift, especially when the tension becomes too much. There's the emotional part of it. There's the mental part of it. Learning to release the story, the idea around it. Because the meaning that we attribute to it, that's where so much of that extra suffering is, so much of that resistance is. You know, where's the actual experience? Next time you stub your toe or bang yourself, notice, okay, what does the sensations feel like? And then what do I add to that? What am I adding to that? When something emotionally hurts, feel that initial hurt, and then notice how you amplify it through your resistance to it. So this is a preview for how we'll explore this in coming weeks. But eventually we learn how to meet this moment with that quality of not only steadiness, but non-resistance, that friendly attention, whether it's a pleasant or unpleasant or neutral, trying to see them all in a quality of equalness, of a quality of balance. And this is actually a very profound teaching, because so much of our resistance is really baked into the way we see things. It's really embedded in the way we see things. It's a bit like maybe a lot like, if you imagine for a second, the air that's in your room and how it touches everything in your room equally. It doesn't care if there's a pile of unfolded laundry or a mess here or something's a beautiful statue or even yourself. It touches all aspects equally. This is kind of a hint of how our meditation starts to develop into this deep quality of complete non-resistance to this moment's experience. You'll get moments of this, often with something that's not so charged. You start to see that when you are not reacting to it and you really relax into that, there's a stillness that echoes into your own body, your own mind. And you may feel like, well, I don't quite know who I am if I'm not resisting things or I'm not fighting with things. I'm a little disoriented. But if we can get through that little disquiet, then there's a deeper peace that's arising as we're really non-resistance, this meeting of experience. And that's really, it echoes in our own minds, our own hearts. And the final one is seeing through thought. So I touched upon that with this non-resistance and how so much of our mind's content, our reactions, our history, that's where so much of our resistance is. And so again, this would be a theme that we'll explore, you know, as these weeks unfold. And if you continue to practice, it become a big theme of your own practice. Because when, once you start to see through thought, to see that everything that you think isn't necessarily absolutely true, but it's actually an approximation or quite often a distortion, your life really opens up in a very beautiful way. Because our so much of our struggle or our prison is based in our thinking, our ideas of other people, those who we think are less than, things or people we think are better than. Think of all the racism, all the prejudice, all the sexism, all the biases in our world are based in thought, all our own self-defining thoughts. But to kind of boil that down to a more simple way, there's this aspect of when we see something, sense something, we have a thought about it almost immediately. And this thought, this label, is actually a form of subtle resistance. It makes a little difference. We're not really connecting fully with experience. We're interpreting it through our past history with our ideas. Perhaps you got a sense of that in the sound meditation, that you hear something and your mind automatically says, oh, that's my spouse walking upstairs, or that's the neighbor doing wheelies in the parking lot. Those things actually happened during the meditation this evening with you. Those arise, but if we relax the idea that we and all the baggage that goes with it, then we're connecting with the direct experience of that sound. We see that in all aspects of experience, that we have this labeling of thought, this almost habitual, automatic projection of thought and idea upon a thing. That creates this level of separation, this level of distance. Of course, it has its utility, it has its help, allows us to navigate the world and act in a, do our jobs, to, you know, do our household tasks. But it also, it's unconsciously believed with, creates this level of separation, this level of conflict, of difficulty. One short poem by Samuel Greene speaks to this, that everything that we see carries the burden of what we know until we let it be itself again. Everything we see carries the burden of what we know until we let it be itself again. Walking the yard with coffee cooling in my hand, I stop at a single seed of hawksbeard balanced on a blade of grass. Except for paying attention, what else is continual prayer? Samuel Greene. So letting things be themselves again. This is one of the arts of meditation. And we learn to do this very immediately with our breath, the sound, but then we carry that into the very concept of who we take ourselves to be, and then how we take other people to be. And in this place, we're actually making contact with who things, what things actually are, who we actually are. We're able to listen much more deeply, much more completely. So these three aspects of steady attention, this quality of a friendly, non-resistant attention, and learning to see through thoughts. These are some of the foundational pieces that we'll explore in many different ways as we go through these 6 weeks together. All right, so let's just sit quietly for a few moments, letting those words settle.